Our lesson this morning comes from Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. Hear God's word. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in the old, stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, in immense mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. And then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us. Christ Jesus, saving is all his idea. And all his work, and all we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. And we don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he's gotten ready for us to do, work we'd better be doing. May God give us understanding of his holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. As we continue in our Lenten journey, there's a question that keeps coming up. Where are we in our life's journey? Do you ever think about that? I think sometimes we think about it most in times of great change, times of loss, and times of birth. Where are we in this strange journey? And who are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to be doing? What is this life in this world all about? Many of us have gone through periods of rebellion, wanting to see the world, wanting to try things out, new things, wondering what it's all about, hearing about the joy and the fun that can be found in wild living. And those who have taken that path usually find that it's hollow and it's empty and it's not all it's cracked up to be. And in many ways can be extremely painful. So where are we in this journey? Paul himself went through all kinds of craziness, but he went through a transformation that changed everything in his life in terms of how he saw himself, how he saw God, and how he saw the world. God willing, we don't have to be thrown to our knees to get the point or get the picture. But one thing that we can be sure of is what the world tells us is fun, is wonderful, is good, is off mark and gets us in the end nothing but disappointment and pain. One of the big challenges, though, is this issue of trust. The scripture talks about how all we do is based upon our ability to trust God. But it's pretty difficult to trust someone if we don't know him. And it takes time, and it takes eyes to see as we live our lives. It takes us watching and trying to understand. Last week we were talking about the Ten Commandments and how so often they feel like rules that are forced upon us to steal our joy rather than to create a good life for us. And part of that misunderstanding often comes because we can see those commandments as being something forced upon us. And sometimes we see it as something, it's almost God saying, do this if you want me to love you. But actually, the total reverse is true. What God is really trying to tell us is that if you love me, then follow these commandments. These are ways that we can show God that we love him, and also ways that we can show each other that we love. One of the things that came to my attention this week when I was thinking about this was an old story that was shared in David Redding's book, Before You Call, I Will Answer. And he tells about a time long ago during the Civil War when there was a huge battle, the Battle of Fredericksburg. And the Confederate armies were up upon a hill. And they were winning this battle against the Union Army at that point. The Union soldiers were just being devastated. They were being shot and wounded and killed right and left down below. It was a pretty sobering, ugly situation. And at one point during that battle, one of the young Confederate soldiers by the name of Sergeant Richard Kirkland was really wrestling with this. He knew that it was a battle, he knew it was a war, he knew there were two sides, but he could not feel comfortable with all the death and devastation below him. So he went to his commander and he asked them, he said, can I go down and give them water? And the commander was confused. He didn't understand why he wanted to do this, but he trusted him and he gave permission, probably feeling comfortable in part because they were winning. But he was still confused. So here was this young Confederate soldier going down in the midst of people shooting off their guns and cannons, going down into the battlefield to provide water to the enemy. And as he did so, it had an incredible impact on everyone there. And the gunfire stopped as he was giving out this water. And he continued to repeat that over and over. And each time he went down into the field, the gunfire stopped. The gunfire stopped. And everyone honored what it was that he was doing. Now that may seem crazy. That's one of those crazy things in the understanding of the world. But as King Duncan so wisely says, he says that, don't we understand that this is why Christ came into the world? It was to create a world of Sergeant Richard Kirklands, people who know how to love, people who know how to put compassion before personal security, people who don't divide others into friends and enemies, but who see all people as children of God. He writes, this is what the gospel is all about. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. For we are God's handiwork, writes St. Paul, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This message has never been more important than in this day and age, particularly when Christians seem to be among the most divisive. We are called to be the peacemakers. We are called to be those who love even our enemy. We are called to be those who build the bridges in Christ. We are called to be those who are voices of reason, not voices of accusation. As we come through this time, it draws us to an awareness of the craziness of this world and how unique and different Christ's message really is. As Christians, we may not think of ourselves as being rebels, but God really does call us, in a sense, to be those rebels, rebelling against the values of this world. and finding ways to care for each other, to love each other, to trust each other. In addition, God teaches us that love is unconditional. There's a wonderful story by Mark Roberts. Dr. Roberts was pastor out at the Hollywood Presbyterian Church, and one night he got one of those phone calls none of us ever want to get. It's from a mom of a 7-year-old son. And he had seen Mary at church, but he had never seen the son. It was some miles to get to that hospital, but he got there as fast as he could, and she was so grateful to see him, and she said she really needed somebody to just sit and pray with. And then she took him into the room where her dead 7-year-old son was lying. This child hooked up with tubes and wires still. He said it was very, very hard for him to look at this child who was so small, who looked much younger than his age, and who was deformed in so many different ways. It was not a lovely picture. And he was struck by the mother Mary, who was there with her child as if he was the most beautiful child in the whole world. Even in his death, going to him and holding his hand, kissing him, in these final moments before she had to let go, just so glad to be there. And he says that he saw in her a picture of God's love, an unconditional love for each of us, all the time. Sometimes we feel so ugly ourselves. We feel so distorted. We feel that we don't live up to the world's idea of what is good, what is popular, what is attractive. But we have a God who loves us incredibly and who wants nothing more than for us to be with him and for us to share that love, to pass it on so that all might know about it. All might feel it. All might share in it. My friends, wherever you are in this life journey, whatever questions you may have about your purpose, whatever concerns or fears you may have, whatever regrets you may have, God is offering you this moment a fresh start, a new beginning. They say that in this world that signs of success involve things like wealth and prestige and power and how popular you are. That's not success in God's mind. He wants you to have something better, something where there's an abundance, where there's enough for everyone, where all can know just how unique and special they really are. Wherever you are in your journey, claim it. Take that fresh start seriously. Celebrate who you are through Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, it's hard not to get sucked into the ways of the world. It's hard at times to hear that wee small voice that calls to us and calls us to something better, to be something better, to do something better, to live something better. Help us to claim it and claim you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.